Perek Dalet Mishnah Vav, Rabbi Yossi Aimer. Before we see exactly what Rabbi Yossi said, let's learn a little bit about Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. He came from the city of Tzipori, and he learned Torah by his father, but also his Rebbe Muvik was Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Yossi had five sons from his Yavama, means he married his brother's wife. His brother died without children. There was a mitzvah of Yibam. In his time, they were still doing the mitzvah of Yibam, not relying on chalitza. So he had five great rabbonim came from that marriage of Yibam to his brother's wife after his brother died. And they were all gedolei haTorah. And he once said that I planted in Klal Yisrael five cedar trees, referring to his five great sons. The most famous of them were Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. Here again, we have another Rabbi Yishmael. We had in the last Mishnah Tana called Rabbi Yishmael. Not Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekah. This is Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Lozer b'Rabbi Yossi. Those were his two famous sons. His Talmud was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And he said once, when he came to ask a question on what his Rebbe said, he said, "Anu ha'olvim, we're embarrassed. We are so low. Nikshal divrei Rabbi Yossi. We low ones are going to ask a question on Rabbi Yossi." And then he said, this is brought down in the Yerushalmi and Gittin, that just like you have a vast difference between kachay kachim, the Holy of Holies in the base of Migdash, the other extreme is chuli chulin, is the most secular, profane matter, and then we compare the two extremes. So too, between our generation and the generation of Rabbi Yossi, it's like going from the Holy of Holies, kachay kachim, to the very opposite, chulei chulin. His Talmud was called Isi ben Yehuda, said on him, Rabbi Yossi nimukoi imoi, which means Rabbi Yossi, whatever he learned, whatever he taught, he would not just say a statement, but he would make sure to explain it that everybody would understand it carefully. And one of his, he was a big balmidos. He went away very much from anger or being makpid to always insist that he gets his way. He went away from that. And his derech was always to, when there was a fight, to bring the people together and make a pshara, compromise, that people should live well with each other. And he said a famous statement, Loi mekoy meshal adam mechabdoi. It's not the place that honors a person, just the opposite. Elo adam mechabedes mekoymoi. It's the person who honors the place. In other words, the real great person is not, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein could sit anywhere in the room and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein honored the room wherever he sat. Some people, the only honor that they get is because they're sitting up in the front seat. So, but really, the honor is of the person, he gives the honor. Now, let's see what he said in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, Kol HaMechabed Es HaTorah. On Simchas Torah, when they call up somebody for Aliyah or for to open the Oren Kodesh or to say, they use a phrase, Tenu Kavod LaTorah, give honor to the Torah. That there's an inyan that not only should a person learn Torah and keep the Torah, but they should honor the Torah. So Rabbi Yossi says, Kol HaMechabed Es HaTorah, as the Rambam explains, that he doesn't just do a mitzvah, but he runs to do the mitzvah, because Torah is important to him. And he's mechabed the chachmei haTorah, and he's mechabed the svarim of the chachmei haTorah. So he shows if a sefer falls on the floor, he runs right over to pick it up, give it a kiss. He's mechabed the writings of the Torah. So gufoy mechubur al abriyas, he himself becomes honored to the people. And that is, if he shows respect to the Torah, so people see him as being a very chashuv person. But chas v'shalom, the opposite, the chala mechalel es haTorah, someone who desecrates the Torah, he's mevazeh the Torah, he doesn't learn it the way he should, he wastes time, he's mevazeh talmidei chachamim, he speaks out about talmidei chachamim, So gufoy mechulal ala bria. So he becomes desecrated. People do not respect him. And we have here a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says, "Va'haftus Hashem alekecha." You should love Hashem, says the Gemara. "Sheyehei shem shamayim misahev al yadecha." That through you, your life, Torah should become beloved to the people. How is it? A person should learn and he should serve Tamid Chachamim. He should speak very softly and kindly with other people. So he's a mensch. Mahabriyas Oymasalov. When people see this person, what do they say about him? Ashrei Aviv Shalom Dei Torah. Praised is his father who taught him Torah. Ashrei Raboi Shalom Dei Torah. Praised is his Rebbe who taught him Torah. Oilam Labriya Shaloi Lamdu Torah. Oh, to the people who didn't learn Torah. Look what Torah did to this person. You see in the streets, to go outside, and you see a Talmud Chacham walking in the streets, and you compare him to everything else, everybody else you see on the street. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Look at that man. Look how great he is. Oh, I feel bad for those people who don't learn Torah. Ploini shalom de Torah, re'u kama noem darkoi, v'kama mesuk konim maisov. Look how nicely he acts, and everything he does is so correct. Olav akosav oimer, v'yoymer loy avdi ato Yisrael asher b'cho espor. Hashem says about the Bnei Yisrael, you are my servant, that I pride myself with you. Avo mi shekayre v'shayna. But a person who learns Torah, u'mishamish tamid chachamim. Mishamish tamid chachamim refers to learning Gemara. He goes into Torah deep. V'ein masoy u'matnoy be'emuna. He's not an honest person in business dealings. He cheats. V'ein dvor v'benachasim abriyas. And he's not nice to people. He's not a mensch. Ma brius oimris alav. What do people say on him? Oy loy leploini shalom atayra. Oh, look, he learned Torah, and look how he acts. Oy loy leaviv shalom de Torah. Oh, to his father. Oy loy leraboy shalom de Torah. Ploini shalom atayra reu kama mechu kolin masav vekama mechu orin drachav. That man who learned Torah, look how disgusting are his ways. And how no good is everything that he does. So that's mechallel Torah. He's mechallel the Torah, and he's disgusted by people. People don't have respect for him, but they don't have respect for the Torah. He brings about a chillul Hashem. This is the opposite of someone who brings about a kiddush Hashem. And finally, there's a pshat here from Rabbeinu Yoina. The Rabbeinu Yoina says on the pasuk, the Meiri says it also. Mitzaref lekesef. This is a pasuk in Mishlei Perich of Zion, pasuk of Aleph. Mitzaref lekesef. A person who purifies silver to get out the impurities of silver. Vekur lezov, or a smelt where they purify gold. The ish lefima loli, a man according to who he praises. According to what he praises, you could see what he is. So the Miri explains, just like a person who purifies silver, or a furnace where you put in gold to make the gold pure. So you could see, if you know the ability of the furnace or of the person, then you know some people are better at it than others. Some people can take out all the impurities, and others are not so capable. They leave in some impurities. So if you know the person who's doing it, or the machine that's doing it, you have better machines and worse machines. So then you can know how much is refined in the gold and silver. So the same thing, if you want to know about this person, what he values, look at who he is. If he speaks about sports stars, so he's into sports. He speaks about Hollywood, he's into Hollywood. If he speaks about Talmid Chachamim, So then you see he's a refined person. So that's what he speaks about. He speaks about refined things. If you know what he speaks about, you can know him. If you know him, you know what he speaks about. It goes together. You could tell how refined a person is by what he produces, what he speaks about, what's important to him. So a person who is mechabe Torah, that shows everyone that he's a good purifier of the gold and silver. If he's mechalal Torah, if he shows disrespect for the Torah, then that speaks about him himself. Ish lefi ma'aloli. If you want to know a person, look what he talks about. If he talks about good things, he's good. If he talks about not good things, then he's not good. This is how the Meiri understands. Ish lefi mahaloloi. A person according to what he praises. You can understand who a person is just by listening to what he considers is important. If he respects Torah, that's a respect for him. And chas v'sholem, the opposite. Perek Dalid, Mishnah Zayin. Rabbi Shmuel Benoy Omer. Rabbi Shmuel, his son, said, whose son is Rabbi Shmuel? He's the son of Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta of the last Mishnah. In Mishnah Vav, we had Rabbi Yossi Omer. That was Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. And now, Mishnah Zayin, we have Rabbi Shmuel Benoy, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi. And very often throughout the Shas, we find that Rabbi Shmuel says things over in the name of his father. He was a judge, a dayan, just like his father, Rabbi Yossi, was in the city of Tzipori. And we find a very interesting story about Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yossi concerning taking bribes. We know a person's not allowed to take any shochat, any bribes. So once, Rabbi Yishmael ben Rabbi Yossi had a worker who worked in the field. He used to harvest, collect the fruit of the field, and every week, let's say on Friday, Erev Shabbos, Lekavit Shabbos, he would bring the fruit to his employer, Rabbi Yishmael ben Rabbi Yossi. One day, instead of bringing it on Friday, he brought it on Thursday. So Rabbi Shmuel asked him, why are you bringing it to me a day earlier? You always bring it on Friday. So he answered, well, you know, I have a Din Torah coming up, and I think you're going to be the judge. And I figured, instead of bringing it Friday, I'll bring it one day earlier. So Rabbi Yossi said that I cannot accept it from you, and I am puzzled to be a judge. I am not allowed to be your judge. And instead, he appointed two Talmid Chachamim, and they would be the judge. But Rabbi Yossi, even though he recused himself from being the judge, but he was walking by and he heard the Din Torah. And he said, oh, you could say for the worker like this that he could win the case. And then he said, oh, you could say like this he could win the case. And then Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi realized that just the fact that the worker had wanted to do a favor, he already was looking at the case that the worker is right. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi said, cursed should be the people who take bribes. I didn't take a bribe, and just because he wanted to give it to me one day earlier. And whose money was it? Whose fruit was it? It was my fruit. He wasn't giving me something that wasn't mine. Just for giving it to me one day earlier, my whole mind is thinking that he's right. So Kal v'chomer, if somebody actually takes a bribe, you can't look at the case anymore straight. Anyway, so this story shows us the honesty and integrity of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and it also shows us he was a judge. And Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah is going to say various things that have to do with a judge. And we'll see that it doesn't only have to do with a judge, but it also has to do with a person who's not a judge. As the next Mishnah, Mishnah Ches, Hu HaYoimer, again, it's Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and he's also, it seems, speaking about a judge, but it also could refer to any person, as we will see. So let's see what Rabbi Shmuel says. HaChoseich Atzmei Min HaDin. If somebody stops himself from a judgment, the Rav, the Bartanura, explains this means where there are other greater rabbis, he says, I don't want to be the judge. Let the other rabbis be the judge. Or he tells the two litigants, the two people who are fighting, he says, don't go to a din Torah. There's two ways that you could solve a money problem. One is called pshara. Pshara means you make a compromise, a settlement. The other one is to go to a din Torah and one person may win the whole din Torah and the other person may lose the whole din Torah, as opposed to a settlement where the two parties, today a lot of times the Beis Din imposes a settlement. But the best way, as we're going to see in a moment, is that you don't go to a din Torah. You settle it amongst yourselves. So Rabbi Shmuel now is talking to the judge. If you stop being a judge in a din Torah, you let other people be a judge, or you tell the two parties better to make a pshara, better to make a settlement. What do you gain by that? Poirek mimenu, you remove from yourself eva, hatred. Why? Because if you're going to find one person innocent, the other person guilty, the one who's going to be guilty, he's going to be your enemy for life. So this way, if they make a settlement between themselves, nobody's going to be upset at you. They made a settlement. The gezel, also you're going to prevent stealing. Why? Because let's say you make a mistake and you say that one person owes the other person $5,000, and really he doesn't, so then it comes out you're stealing the $5,000 from that person. But if they make a settlement, they settled between themselves. You didn't do anything to make gezel. Also, you're preventing, if you don't go to a din Torah, you're preventing shvua shav. Shvua shav means a shvua for nothing. In other words, let's say you would make one of these people make a shvua. A shvua, you do it a sefer Torah. You swear in the name of Hashem, I swear that I am the right one and this happened. Now, let's say you didn't have to swear and the judge, by mistake, thought that you do have to swear. It comes out that the person who's swearing is swearing for nothing. And he's saying Hashem's name. I swear by Hashem's name. I swear by the Sefer Torah. It comes out he's saying a shvua for nothing. Or worse, he could be saying a lie. And you made him swear, and he lied under oath. If you wouldn't have made him swear, let's say he wasn't obligated to swear. You made him swear. You caused him to say a lie. And we find that a lie is also called shvua shav, a shvua for nothing. So until now, we've understood the words of Rabbi Shmuel to be referring to the judge. But really, it could refer to the litigants themselves. I'm going to read from Rabbi Wein's Sefer on, Beryl Wein's Sefer on Pirkei Avos, and I think he says very clearly what this means, and I'm going to add a little bit to it. Rabbi Wein says as follows. One of the worrisome facets of general society in the beginning of the 21st century is its litigious nature. It seems as if everyone rushes to lawyers and courts at the slightest hint of a disagreement, especially over matters of money. This nature has spilled over into Jewish society as well. When I was young, Rabbi Wein says, my rabbis drummed into us the idea that pious Jews should avoid involving themselves in litigation, even in a din Torah, a rabbinic court trial. When I was in law school, we were taught Abraham Lincoln's motto, a bad settlement is still better than a good lawsuit. Or we'll say it in Lashon Kodesh, a bad pshara is still better than a good din Torah. And we'll soon explain why. It's better to make a pshara than go through a din Torah. But that view of life changed radically in the last half of the 20th century. Summonses to rabbinical courts now fly in the wind as often as raindrops. Everybody is bringing everybody else to a din Torah. Rabbi Yishmael's warning is therefore doubly apt. Avoiding such litigation spares the parties from unnecessary hatreds and animosities. So the first explanation we gave is that the judge is stopping people from hating him. Now we're saying that if you don't go to a din Torah, the two people will prevent each other from hatred. The Mishnah said, "Hachosech atzma min adin." This Rabbi Wein is saying this goes not only on the dayan, on the litigants, on the balei dinim. Porek mimenu eva. He takes away from himself hatred because the two people are going to start hating each other. It minimizes physical, emotional, and mental aggravation, as well as other costs, both physically and monetary. You have to pay the judges, in a din Torah, and the din Torah could take days and days and days, and you're paying $300 an hour, a lot of money. It also removes the temptations of suborning perjury, encouraging false claims, lying, cheating, and eventually even stealing. It also prevents the necessity of taking oaths, thus eliminating the grave sin of taking a false oath, which shakes the very foundation of this world and its society. And here is the main line, I think, of Rabbi Wein and what this issue is all about. The zeal of the parties in attempting to win at a din Torah often leads to cynicism and corruption in Jewish society. Many times in my rabbinic career, when I attempted to prevent litigation and an unwarranted din Torah, I was told, "Rabbi, it's not the money I'm after, it's the principle of the thing." Unfortunately, I discovered that 9 out of 10 times it was the money after all. Money can drive people to do shameful things. Rabbi Yishmael warns us to refrain from litigation and thus avoid all of the terrible pitfalls of such litigation outlined here in the Mishnah. So I was thinking, you know, the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation on Tisha B'Av, in all neighborhoods, they show videos of different Rabbonim, Chashuvim, who speak about Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, that we have to be good to each other, no sin as chinam, no hatred of one another, no onoas dvorim, saying things that hurt each other. I think probably the main place that we can focus where we have tremendous problems, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, is at a din Torah. I'll tell you one shocking story that I'm aware of. A very, very, very great rabbi, whose name will not be mentioned, was involved in a din Torah against his former congregation. And the people who were on the side of this very chashuv rabbi didn't want him to come to the din Torah, but the dayanim insisted, because of there was money matters involved, that he has to come to the din Torah. When this rabbi walked in, one of the litigants who a tremendous azus ponim, tremendous chutzpin yak. As the rabbi walks in, this guy streams out in front of the whole court, Vayavoy Haman. Could you believe it? This is what this lowlife did against this great rabbi. He shamed him in public. He caused him oinoas dvorim, pain, by the words that he said. And I know of someone who was about to go to a din Torah, And he was told by several great poskim that he's entitled to a certain amount. He was offered in a pshara a third of what the great rabbis told him he was entitled to, but he accepted it because he felt that if he's going to go to a Din Torah, he's going to get involved in all these things of the Mishnah and more. He's going to be mevayesh pnei chavera barabim. He's going to shame the other person. In presenting his case, he's going to have to say things that the other person did wrong. By the way, there's a bezdin of three sitting there. And many halachas of what's called a rabim is 10 people. But here, the Orach Laner, Rabbi Yaakov Etzliger, in a place tells us that even three people constitutes a rabim. And the Gemara says, "Hamevayish pnei chaveroi barabim, ein lo chelik lo mabo." If you embarrass someone in public, you have no part in the world to come. So this person said, "Maybe if I go to a Din Torah, I'll make a few thousand dollars more, but it's going to come at. There's going to be a fight, as there is. There's going to be shouting. There's going to be machlokes. There's going to be sinas chinam. I know as dvorim." Mevayish pnei chaver berabim, lashon hara, mitzi shemra. All of these benal chaveras happen when you go to a din Torah. Why? Because as Rabbi Wein said, the main purpose of a din Torah is to win. It's not for the truth necessarily. It's to win. In the time of the Gemara tells us that if somebody is found that he has to pay the other person money, he should walk out of the bezdin and sing a tune to himself. He should be happy. Why should he be happy? Because this money was not mine. The Bezdin said, I owe $5,000 to the other person. If I would keep this money, it would be stealing. It would be gezel. Baruch Hashem, Hashem helped me that the Bezdin showed me that this money belongs to my friend, and I gave up the money. I don't have stolen money in my hands. That's how a person should react. So if two Jews have a money argument, disagreement, and they would go with that attitude to the Bezdin, please, Bezdin, tell us whose money this really is. And if you tell us that it's the other person's money, we're very happy. We don't have stealing. If that would be the approach, and we're looking for the truth, because none of us want to have the money that is not ours. If that would be the approach, then there wouldn't be all of these things. Nobody would embarrass each other. No, there's no hatred. There's no machlokas, etc. Unfortunately, as Rabbi Wein points out, the goal is to win. If the goal is to win, then you're ready to do anything, but because you want to win. So Rabbi Wein is pointing out that HaChosech Atzmei Min HaDin does not only refer to a Dayan. He also, the Mishnah is referring to a judge, as we explained at the beginning of this year. But we have to also realize that it refers to every person. Whenever there's a monetary dispute, that's what he was quoting in the name of Abraham Lincoln. We could see even a goy understood this concept. A bad settlement, even though you might only get a third of what you're entitled to, but that's still better than a good lawsuit. It's better than a good Din Torah. Why? Because a Din Torah is going to bring out the worst things in a person, and that's why you should stay away from it. The next part of the Mishnah, again, Rav Yishmol is speaking about a dayan. V'hagas liboy boy raw. If someone is a Balgaivenik, he is self-confident in a psak, as the Rav explains, that he does it very quickly. We learned in the first parak of Pirkei Avos, have a Mishnah Aleph, have a Mesunim Badin. You should be slow in judgment. Don't say, oh, I had this case 100 times already. Maybe this case is a little different. You have to slowly analyze the case. But if you're a judge who, oh, I know what the law is over here, hagas libay bar roi, self-confident. What is he? The Mishnah says, shota, he's a fool. Why is he a fool? Because someone who thinks he's smart, There's no bigger shota than a person who thinks he's smart and that he can't make a mistake. The Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Chavov, Mishnah Yud Bei says, Ra'isa ish chacham be'enav, tikva l'ksil mimenu. If you see someone who thinks that he's a very bright guy and he cannot make mistakes, it's a fool is better than him. Why? Because he's the biggest fool. A person who thinks that he's infallible, that he can't make any mistake, he's the biggest fool. The next thing the Mishnah says, Russia. He's also a Russia. Why? Because it shows he has no Yerushalayim. If he had the fear of heaven, he wouldn't be so confident in what he's saying. He would take the time. He'll, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, he'll consult with other people. He's not going to quickly, without too much thought, oh, the din is like this, etc. Because a person who's a Yerush Shamayim knows that everybody can make a mistake. Even the greatest person is able to make a mistake. And finally, a person who's flippant, self-confident, Gas Ruach, he is a Balgaiva. Because he wants, Rabbeinu Yonah says, he wants to show the whole world what a bright guy he is. That he, 1, 2, 3, he can paskin the din. And therefore, a person should not have this attitude. I'm going to again quote from Rabbi Wein, because he brings down here a very interesting story of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, who was the greatest posek in America, and one of the greatest posekim in the world, and perhaps the greatest at the time that he lived. So Rabbi Wein says that Rabbi Shmuel warns judges in rabbinic courts and scholars who undertake to decide questions of halacha. In other words, it's not only by a din Torah, but you go, you ask a Rav a shaila. So if the Rav should say, if he should say, you know, let me look into it and make sure that his answer is correct. Rather than say a quick answer that might not be 100% correct, better do it slowly, say, I'm going to check into it, I'll get back to you, to make sure that he gets the right answer. The status enjoyed by such a judge can lead him to ubri, gaiva. He can become callous, haughty, arrogant. He can become a fool, potentially evil, and a pompous, self-aggrandizing person. Judges and rabbinic decisors wield great power and influence, and therefore only the truly humble, only the anav, should undertake those roles, for their humility will protect them from the temptations and delusions of grandeur that inevitably destroy people, even great people. In other words, a great person has to be an anav. If he's going to be a balgaiva, he'll get destroyed. And he brings here a very interesting story of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal was the great American posek, rabbinic decisor of the second half of the 20th century. He was a person of great humanity, simplicity, and humility. Once a woman who was a neighbor of his burst into his apartment demanding to see the rabbi. Rabbi Feinstein's assistant, Rabbi Moshe Rivlin, prevented her from barging into the rabbi's office, explaining that she had not made an appointment, was not dressed properly, and that Rabbi Feinstein was busy answering correspondence. The woman nevertheless insisted loudly that she had to see the rabbi. Hearing the commotion, Rabbi Feinstein opened the door and motioned for her to come in. The woman stayed with Rabbi Feinstein for about 20 minutes, and even though the door was slightly ajar, Rabbi Rivlin could not determine the purpose of her visit. When she was leaving the apartment, she turned around and berated Rabbi Rivlin for preventing her from seeing the rabbi. He apologized profusely and asked her why it was so important for her to see the rabbi. She answered, "I am his neighbor. When I get a letter from my aunt in Israel, I bring it to the rabbi to read and translate it for me." Many a person carrying Rabbi Feinstein's heavy burdens would not have had time for something so trivial. But Rabbi Feinstein had time for everyone, because he never saw himself as being the rabbi. He was the rabbi, but not the rabbi. He was Rav Moshe was a tremendous anav, and therefore, as busy as he was, he could take the time to translate a letter in Hebrew that this lady didn't understand. He could translate it for her.